Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Cookbook Circle podcast. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Victoria.
We're two friends with a shared love of food, cooking, and all things cookbooks.
We are now in the third season of this podcast. Mm. And this one is all about, well, not really anything in particular. We are themeless. So you can expect deep dives on certain dishes, reviews of cookbooks, of course, but there'll be new cookbooks, old cookbooks, all sorts of cookbooks. And of course, we'll be asking you, our lovely listeners, for some input on episodes that we're going to do.
It's going to be so fun. And if you love what we do, we're also on Patreon. This means if you'd like to support us, your subscription will help to cover the podcast's costs, from the books themselves to the ingredients for what we cook. And in return, you'll get some fun stuff like bonus minisodes. To find out more, visit our website, thecookbookcircle.com, or you can find the link in our show notes. Thanks, friends. Now, let's get to the fun part.
Hello, Hannah.
You're getting increasingly seductive. Hello, Victoria.
I know. I'm trying to get, 2% more productive and seductive every episode.
How are you measuring your seductivity? Me, my comments, my reactions.
your reaction.
How much I fancy.
And how many, yes. And how many letters we get. We don't get any letters.
No letters.
That would be weird.
We did get that lovely book token from that one lovely listener.
We did.
That was really nice.
We need to spend that.
We do need to spend that.
Have we spent yours?
No, we haven't spent it. She had a particular idea for how we should spend it, didn't she?
Yes. It was not Nancy Haishu Singleton, who is it's someone with a Japanese name. It's an Australian chef.
Yes. Oh, God, we're butchering this now. Eloise. It was Eloise.
Thank you, Eloise.
Julia Basu.
Eloise. I never know how to do that, how to say that name.
How did you say it?
Can you say Eloise? I don't know.
I always go for the Z. Eloise.
Eloise, yeah.
Julia Basotil Nishimura.
What a name, man. I feel like we've mentioned her before in the pod.
Yes.
And what a banging name she has. I feel like she's Australian and she does Japanese, Italian cooking. She's beautiful.
Comment people's looks.
But she's got really dark, gorgeous hair, talking about someone's hair siren. does someone want to add up the amount of times I've said a chef's got great hair?
Yes. Anyway, we digress. But yeah, we would like fan letters if anyone wants to send them to us.
Yeah, I mean, they can come in Instagram messages or emails. We're contact
at the cookbooks. We're not desperate at all. Text us. Here's our number.
My mobile number is...
Carrier pigeon. We'll take anything. This is our last full episode.
Episode ever. No.
Oh, yeah.
our last book episode.
Or, yeah. Yeah, because we haven't even just only done books this season, have we? We've really changed it up.
We have not only done books.
Oh, it's been so spontaneous.
I mean, that is what they say about us.
Those girls.
In the letters. spontaneous, fun.
20 episodes.
20 episodes. This has been a fun season.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed this.
No topic season has been fun.
Yeah, we'd love to hear what you liked about this season. I feel like a lot of people have said to me, like friends who listen have said about the ultimate episodes being useful. Why are you laughing? That I'm
sorry,
friend?
Just the way that you oh, no. You have plenty of friends. I don't have enough friends. Just the way that you said season sounded like you were going to say cease and desist. We've had people sending us cease and desists. Mostly Jamie Oliver.
Oh, God. yes, the ultimate episodes seemed to be getting good ones, but yeah.
And I'd like to do more of those.
Maybe we do a whole season of ultimate.
Hammer.
They take ages, though, don't they? The ultimate ones, I feel like they're...
And our poor partners are stuck eating whatever it is. I mean, you know, happy days if it's chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
Bad news for my other half if it's veggie burgers.
Oh, yeah, the veggie burgers is the hardest one. Tomato sauce at least could go. I've still got mine in the freezer. Any day now it's going to come out. But, yeah, we'll do a final recap episode because they're always fun to think about which books we've come back to. And yeah, our favorites of the season or things that we've reflections.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we'll put a little Q&A box on the old Instagram and see if anybody has any questions for us. If they don't, we'll just make some up. So it looks like we're popular.
you guys have really been asking.
I'll get Stephen and Tom to send some.
Tom's not even on Instagram, he's useless. And then we're going to take a little break between seasons, we think. But that's because to focus on our other, what do people say? I want to focus on the other areas of my life.
Our other projects,
that's it. I got so excited I knocked over the mic.
You could describe us as the podcasting Piers Morgan, who is quitting. Is he on Talk TV, GB News? I can't remember. I don't watch any of those.
Oh,
nor,
God.
But I just, he's quitting it to do YouTube. We are not quitting to do YouTube with Piers Morgan.
Oh, God.
No,
him on YouTube. He's just going to be unmoderated, like ranting about women or something on there.
I think that's his reason. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I saw that he said this week or last week or some week that he would... chop up and incinerate Prince Harry if he was in their family. Good.
God.
On TV, on the TV show. Anyway.
He was done going for Meghan, so now he's just going to go after. Anyway, he's awful. we're not going to do that.
But we are going to try some new stuff.
Yes, we are. We want to do some more newsletters.
Yes.
We
in the classic creative millennial thing are going to launch a Substack.
Yeah, and then a TikTok. I would happily launch a TikTok if someone else would do the filming and editing for me. I think we'd be great on there, but I just don't have the energy or the time. I bought that one back for the Olia Hercules book. I bought a stand from my camera and like a ring light to try and film some of the recipes that I was making, and it was so time consuming. It was awful.
Yeah.
And it looks
shit. I don't know how these people do it.
Yeah.
I would also like to do it. Maybe we need to hire a Gen Z-er.
I think we do. We can't afford one.
No, maybe we could hire your niece.
Oh, yeah.
She's what, a Gen A-er? A Gen, I don't know what they're called.
She's 12.
Next Gen. I don't know. Generation younger than me.
She sends me videos of her doing TikTok and dances. And as much as I love her, I wouldn't say that her camera work is the finest yet.
Maybe she has a friend.
We'll nurture that.
And maybe because she's in Ireland,
yeah,
we don't have to pay tax.
All right, Jimmy Carr. We love tax. Anyway, so yes, what we're saying is... Watch this space. Follow us on Instagram if you don't follow us at Cookbook Circle. Yeah. And we will post news. Join our mailing list. That's on the website, cookbookcircle.com.
And maybe we'll put a little teaser out on, a little episode teaser out if you've got us in your feeds and you don't have Instagram, just letting us know where you can find us whilst we have a break.
Yes, 100%. We've got some fun recipes to release as well that we've created together, our recipe children. And yeah, there's going to be fun stuff. So stick with us, pals.
Yeah. And, you know, consume us in different ways.
Oh, God. You sounded a bit Anthony Hopkins in the Silence of the Lambs.
Just as a disclaimer, guys, I've had a day. It's the evening time. I've had a day and I am half a glass of wine down. And if you have listened to this podcast for a while, that is incredibly rare.
It's usually me doing the drinking.
Mm.
At one time I had a couple of gin and tonics and got really angry.
But it's me being angry now.
Alcohol suits us just fine.
No, I'm not actually angry about this book. I'm very excited to talk about this book. I'm really happy. It's our last book of the season because, spoiler alert, I liked it.
I'm so excited about this. Yeah. I was so excited to get this book. And
me too.
Do you remember a year and a half ago or something? Maybe a year ago, I went and queued when she did a pop-up at Half Cut in near
Somewhere in King's Cross.
Yeah, and I got a slice of barrette, but I got that insane donut that I talked about at the time that was feta cheese donut with candied jalapeno on there. And it changed my life. And ever since then, I've just been really, really into her. And then we went to her shop just before Christmas.
Yes.
So delicious. And I'm just very excited about this book.
I feel like she, Mystic Barek, and this book has changed your life significantly, over the quality of your life, over the last... I mean, I don't know about this book. We haven't talked about it. We literally haven't talked about it.
No, we haven't.
Hannah is incredibly busy at work, and so we are, you know, often communicating one-word texts 2 days apart. But it does suck. But that makes this all the better. But I know how much Hannah loved the shop, Mystic Brick, and loved that pop-up. And we've talked about this on the pod, her and Mystic Brick on the pod before. And so
we're here
when we got this book. Another disclaimer that Spasia's PR sent us this book kindly.
But we never would accept a book that we don't want to do or wouldn't want to talk about, and we would be honest about it even if we didn't like it. So we should say
We would have absolutely bought this book, I think.
Oh, right? God, 100%.
This would have been top of the list once this came out. I think they contacted us like last year, right? So at some point to say that she was bringing a book out and it hadn't been announced yet. Yeah. And we were like, you are joking. Like, yes, please. Like, that is all we want in the world.
I think why I find her so great is because it's savory pastry, a lot of it, right?
Yeah.
Which is what we always say, like, that we want more of with, like, Ravni Gill or, I don't know, Alison Roman or Claire Saffitz even, and all those kind of bakers. And here's someone who's, like, basically only doing savory pastry stuff.
Yes.
And it's, yeah, very exciting
and it's
interesting.
Really, it's just, like... Yeah, it's interesting. It's different. Mm. It's like decadent in a way that you just don't get anymore.
No.
Like, I think in various food scenes, I am excited. Should I talk to you a little bit about the author?
Please do. I want to know everything. So, tell me everything.
This book, we don't even say its name. Doma. I mean, you've seen it on the podcast name, but Doma, and it's by Spasia Dinkowski. And
what
I really hope I'm saying that right, but I think I am. Yeah. Spasia Pandora Dinkowski. What a name.
Incredible.
She's a babe.
Yeah. Great little outfit in her like headshot. She wears like a really cute pink button down kind of dress with Mystic Breck embroidered in red.
Yes. So Mystic Breck is the name of her shop.
Yeah.
Her shop, and also like the pop-ups and delivery stuff she was doing before that.
Yeah.
And she loves pink, right? I feel like all of her branding is pink. This book is pink and red throughout. Like, it's so kitsch and like, oh, I love it.
It's great. Doma means home, doesn't it?
Oh, does it?
Apparently.
Sorry, I didn't read that. Yeah, that makes sense. So she is, she was born to Macedonian parents in West Sussex in Crawley. And she talks, like, a lot of this stuff, actually, when I've read about her, reminds me a bit of Dina. Who we did last week, last episode from Bihari. Like, this kind of... code switching at home and school. Like, she had this house full of like people like cooking this food from like the Balkan area, which obviously is not something that you hear a lot about, which is also why I love this.
Yeah.
But then she talks about like spending time with her Anglophile granddad that loved like shepherd's pie and only fools and horses. And she loved that. And also she talks about like the town she grew up in Crawley was like very like multicultural. So she had friends who were like Iraqi and Nigerian and Punjabi. And so like meeting those people and just like, she felt like she could relate to those people because they had like almost like two cultures, but like struggled to find her Britishness, I guess.
Yes. Don't we all?
I would like to denounce my Britishness a lot of the time at the moment, but that's a conversation for another day. And then I found this really interesting because like, we obviously found out and knew about her. I don't know if you had heard of her or knew about her before Mystic Breck and like lockdown.
No, I don't think so. I think I found out about her on Instagram, basically.
Yeah. Well, she, before that, was like very, you know, she's done every... like position in the kitchen. She said she worked at like a Turkish restaurant when she was a teenager, but then she moved to New York. She's in New York doing food
for
a while. Yeah She said she was in New York for 5 years. She got a visa for some reason. She doesn't talk about why, but yeah, she managed to get a visa, which it was supposed to be for like a writing job that she moved to, but she didn't really like it. So she ended up like working in a meat, cheese and sandwiches shop. And then she just like starts creating sandwiches. Like that becomes her thing. And like, you know, which really leans into this stuff like later on, I think.
Yeah.
She was in charge in that deli as of sandwiches and like the specials. Oh, and so
what a job.
She's then, yeah, I know, my dream job.
Yeah.
She started a sandwich pop-up, making them at home, driving them to a dive bar for them to heat up.
Great.
And then she says, after almost 5 years of a hangover and hustle in Brooklyn, my visa expired.
Wow.
And
5 years. She, a long time.
I know. It's great. I don't know how long that was ago, like 15, 16 years ago. But
wow.
Yeah, amazing. And so then she moved to London and she says, I said I would never do it, but I couldn't go back to like a small town.
Yeah.
And then she brought her sandwich concept to Dalston. She doesn't say where, but yeah, she said, oh, when people thought you couldn't serve sandwiches as your main offering, which I loved, and you know, the how that's changed. That was like, you know, 10 years ago. And then she worked in different places. She did her own catering. She worked in a hotel, like independent places, which was great. And then she said she moved to a cafe or a restaurant, which was good because she'd had her like confidence.
Yeah.
Like, I guess, you know, put down in various shitty jobs in hospitality, which is all too
familiar
when we read these things. And then I think that she was just like working, and then like she knew that she was making these sandwiches and she knew that she wanted to bring like Macedonian Balkan food, like do more with that. Like it was like bubbling inside her. And I think that I guess lockdown happened and she was like, oh, I've got she talks about having good sleep and like time to think about what she wants.
Yeah.
And like she missed her family and missed that food. And like, that's where it came from. And so she started cooking these like breks, which are like these like pastry pies, and in her little oven at home, selling them on Instagram and like delivering them.
Yeah.
And then she kind of got a bit too big for that. And it would be that she would take the orders and then she would like pitch up on her in a like big pink car outside, you know, some overground or underground station.
Right.
And you had to come to her to pick up your pie.
Okay.
Your bread.
Yeah.
And then she opened her restaurant. And it was interesting because I read an article with Counter Talk, which is a very good like hospitality, like online magazine.
Yeah.
Run by Ravneet Gill and colleagues.
Our Gill.
Where from a couple of years ago, 2021, I think, where it's like, oh, Spazia's not looking for a restaurant or a permanent space.
Right.
But blah, 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 blah. But then I guess one came up. And like, if you do look at our Instagram about when this shop came up, I think it was like
spontaneous.
Yeah, it was just like,
Spontaneous? Or just like she saw the space and just went for it?
Yes, exactly. And I think she just feels like she's quite lucky and she's bought like the space over the road as well to be like a prep and test kitchen.
Yeah.
It's
really wee. Like it's so small, the spot that she has in a lovely way. Mm. Like it's really cozy, but it's probably like, I think it's maybe like 4 or 5 little 2-people tables. And then you can sit up at like a little counter at the window and she's got like a couple of tables outside and it's like super kitschy.
Oh,
like decor
that.
And like plasticky kind of tablecloths and stuff. And she sells some stuff in the fridge as well. I think she sells like a yogurty thing or like a kefir kind of thing or something. Maybe.
Like a drink.
I think so. Yeah. Some Balkan stuff. Oh, I've probably just done that a massive disservice, but so it would make sense. You can see her in the back, right? Like you can, there's the counter where the guy, front of house guy is like taking the orders, but she's just in the back like constantly like making these burek, so you can see how she'd like outgrow it really quickly.
And she makes them all, I think, still makes all the pastry, I believe, and all the fillings, and they're all like really, these like really, like you have to go on Instagram, which I think is probably Mystic Burek, right? But you'll find it. And they look so decadent, like they're like really cheesy and or really meaty or like really like red and spicy.
Yeah.
And
they come with great like dips and they're under like a cloud of, and I mean a cloud of like Parmesan on top of them. The absolutely delicious, delicious food. Anyone in London absolutely should go.
Yes, you should. It's in Sydenham, right? Like, which is in South London.
Yeah, it's not that far from me, actually. And I still have a voucher because I bought, when she was opening up the shop, she wanted to people to buy vouchers to help, like, get capital or whatever. So I bought, like, I think, yeah, like a 30 quid one. So I need to, like, go back and cash it in.
Oh. And you can still buy, like, whole pies, right? Like, pizzas almost to take away.
Yeah.
Delicious. And they're like, if you've never seen a Breck before, which I probably hadn't until I started following her, they're either like twisty, like a spiral, and like a size of a pizza, and you have like a slice or you buy a whole thing, or they're like layered like a lasagna, but still in like a pie form.
Yeah.
With like phyllo. I mean, I'm, you know, spoiler alert, I made one, so we can talk about it, but it's like they're like pie situation. Like, think of pizza.
Yeah.
That's how you're like eating it, right? Like, it's in slices. It's got all these like lovely toppings. You can kind of fill it with whatever.
Yeah. And then there's like Turkish variations on it, right? Where it's börek with an O. And there'll be sometimes like more of a like puff pastry and like a triangle. Or I remember there's like in Lewisham where I used to live, there was like a little Turkish stand in the shopping centre and they sold börek in like, I think it was like, maybe it was slices as well, but it was delicious with like spinach and cheese. I feel like there's lots of variants on it, depending on the country. Yes.
Yeah.
But they're all delicious.
But, you know, at the end of the day, shit in pastry is nice.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
and this is, but I just love the decadence of it. And
loads of
it's great
cheese. So much cheese,
loads of cheese. There's a whole like dairy recipe, a whole section right on dairy, how to make your own cheese, and I wouldn't be surprised if she does in the shop and for her breaks like makes her own cheese and stuff, because she's so brilliant.
Yes.
This is
courgettes with
if you don't want the book, go to the restaurant, and at the very least just follow her on Instagram, because
you will
just be hungry and excited looking at it. Like, if you like food in any way, which you probably do because you're listening to us, she's just brilliant. And this book is it's beautiful, it's very pink, and it's not just börek, like, we, you know, that's what she's kind of built her brand off, but it's all kind of she calls it Balkan food. So it's not, she's Macedonian, her family are Macedonian, and she, I think she talks about herself as Balkan British, that I've read that now, but there's the chapters are preserves and condiments, love that, dairy, baking, and baking is where the bureks are, meze and salata, which I think is salads, mains for feasting and indulgent desserts. So there's all sorts of things in here, and it's very much, it's great.
There's a lot of like baking and like breads and stuff too, like not just like sweet ones, but maybe ones with like stuff with cheese or there's just a lot of white cheese in here, which I'm not mad about at all.
No,
there's something
a lot of fried stuff.
Yeah,
a lot of oil.
There's something that looks a lot like the honeycomb bread that we both made from Pagacha.
I thought that
we made from Bahari. I was just so excited browsing through this because that was just like one of my favorite things. Bread and cheese, and here it is in like a gazillion different forms, and baking. I can bake it. It's great.
There's something called kaimak on page 51, which actually was part of one of the was supposed to be like served with something that I made, and obviously I didn't. But she describes it as a salted clotted cream, and I feel like that will just hit people. Like, if you like cream and clotted cream particularly, like, that is probably it literally the ingredients are milk, heavy cream and salt.
Oh my god.
Like, I bet it's great if you're into that. It's not my kind of thing, as we know, but
delicious.
Yeah, it look. I mean, the pictures of that stuff is great as well.
Oh. Yeah, I would have liked maybe a few more pictures, and that's rare for me to say that, just because the stuff is so unusual, or I'm not from, not unusual, that's not fair, I'm not familiar with it, that it's I kind of am like, okay, that looks delicious, what the hell is it meant to look like? Like, I need a side by side picture, please. I've educate got to get me there. But the pictures that are in there are so retro and fun and like really saturated and like 70s looking.
Yeah. She also gives you pronunciation tips on pretty much everything that has a word in it that you might not know how to pronounce.
These,
which is helpful. Great.
This one on here, fried green tomatoes, fudgy eggs, tomato jam and chervil mayo. What? Like,
I saw that.
My mouth is actually watering saying all of those words.
I know. And the picture of that looks so beautiful. Delicious. And I was like, I would have made that if I thought there was any way in February I could get green tomatoes.
Yeah.
But could have bought some back from Spain.
Yeah, you could. Slacking.
But... where I was in Spain, I had literally one shop, and you know, the tomatoes that they had were great, but anyway. So should we talk about what we made? What did you make? I'm very excited to hear.
So I made two things.
Mm-hmm.
I sat Tom down with the book and said, it's dinner tonight, pick what you want. And he kept coming back to the hot fried cheese burek loaf with chili and honey. Which
this looks so good.
Is just insane. So basically, you make a burek, but she says it's different to the one on the previous page, but it's different, I think, to most of the shapes because you bake it in a loaf tin, and then you slice it once it's baked, and then you fry it, and you drizzle it with garlic honey, like that's garlic infused honey and chili oil. Oh my God.
A lot of honey in this book.
Yeah.
And I'm here for it.
Yeah, yeah. For you with your Japanese this looks, honey.
The picture as well. Yeah, my Japanese honey. The picture of this looks so good. It was also on my list to do, but I thought mine are a bit meaty that I did, but it looks so good.
Yeah. And not too, like, the ingredient list isn't crazy. So it's phyllo pastry, garlic, honey, eggs, vegetable oil, feta. And then she suggests a chili oil recipe on page 37. I didn't make that, but I did make a quick... because I've made the one from Easter Belfridge loads of times. And I knew I had everything in the cupboard for that. So I was just like, and I know how to make that. Nice. And I want to make it quickly. So I just made that one. And salt and pepper. Once again, the Sainsbury's and Crystal Palace like lets me down. There's no phyllo pastry. And I was like, no.
No.
So I was like, and it was like just before closing time in the shops. And I ran and there's like this little organic veg shop that's next door to the Turkish restaurant. And I think it's the same owners. And I was like, maybe they'll have it because they've like always sorted me out before with like some kind of niche ingredient like pomegranate molasses. And then I went in and they had like these, it was like big rolls of phyllo pastry that were way bigger than the ones ours, but they looked slightly different. And then I was like, oh my God, can I use this? And then in the top right corner, it said like, burek, and I was like, oh, this is perfect. And I googled it and it was like the Turkish one, but it did, I think it was like slightly thicker than your average phyllo. But and it was a bit, I couldn't say like for like the sheets that she used, so I kind of winged it a little bit, but it was still great. Basically, you combine garlic and honey in a bowl and you set that aside to infuse. And then you whisk up eggs and oil and season that. And that's what you're going to be brushing the pastry with. And you grease a loaf tin, £2 one. She said you can use any size, but you just have to probably adjust the baking time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put a sheet of phyllo in and you kind of scrunch it to fit. Then you brush it all over with the egg wash and you repeat that 4 times. And then you crumble feta over the pastry. Scrunch up 2 more sheets of pastry and you layer that over the feta. Brush that, and again you just keep repeating that so that you've got feta, 2 sheets of pastry, feta, 2 sheets of pastry, feta, 2 sheets of pastry, and then on top you put 3 sheets of phyllo, brush it with the egg wash, and you kind of like tuck it in She says this will form a delicious crust. And you brush the top with remaining egg and you bake it for like 25 minutes. You let that, it goes like a nice golden brown on top. You take that out of the oven. You let it cool. I like stuck mine in the fridge because I like really needed it to cool quickly.
Yeah.
And then you strain the garlic from the honey, but you so that it's got all the flavor. And then when you're ready to serve, you heat just a little bit of oil in a frying pan and then you slice the loaf into like 4 centimeter slices. And you fry it for 2 or 3 minutes on each side till it's like nice and crispy. And like I let it get quite like dark. And then you just serve it. You drizzle over this garlic honey, which has really taken on loads of the flavor, and the chili oil. And you just serve it. It's so good. It's so good.
I bet. I'm like, you know, I bet that is so good.
Oh, delicious. And we had like, we had like leftovers the next day. We're like walking home from a walk. I'm like, what do we have for lunch? And we're like, breck. It's like, let's just absolutely smash the rest of that loaf in the fridge.
Yes.
And we just had that for like a little snack, and it was just, oh, so good. I was really proud of the like layers when I sliced it. I think I took a picture of that before frying it as well, which I'll share. But oh my god, and like really, like not that much work. It looks involved, but it's not that much.
I think that's another thing I feel like I was surprised about. I thought this would be like a hard
labor.
Like it would be difficult,
yeah.
Like labor, yeah. Because I feel like anything with pastry, you'll just think, okay, this is going to take a long time. Like,
yeah,
I'm going to be resting and blah blah blah. But actually,
well, you can rest all you want, but the pastry might need to keep working.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
But yes, I saw that and it looks, it, can you imagine eating that like hungover, like for brunch? Like
incredible.
It's like the most, it's the French toast that everybody wants.
Yeah.
Frankly.
So the feta is so salty and...
Yeah.
And the chili oil. Oh, amazing. And I serve that with the crunchy potatoes with fried pepper cream.
Ooh.
On page 132 in the mezze and salata section. So she said this is perfect dinner for a low, or this is perfect for a low-key TV dinner. I love that she says the peppers will spit as they cook, so treat yourself to a mesh cover for your frying pan, such a staple in most immigrant homes. And my mum used to have one of those, but I haven't seen one of those for years, and they are such a handy thing to have.
I don't have one, but
they're brilliant.
You get them in Japan, obviously.
Of course, all the good things
obviously
are. So this is it's basically like a kind of a pepper cream base, and then it's like pepper, long red pointed peppers and long green peppers. I completely did not see the long green peppers on the ingredient list and did not buy them, but it was fine because there's enough with the 4 Romano peppers. And so you've got kind of a base of this like pepper cream, then you pile like the pepper, roasted peppers or fried peppers on top with this like oniony dressing, and then you put like new potatoes, mm-hmm. your fave, on top. So to start off, you like heat some oil in a frying pan. Everything's just heating oil, frying things. Everything. Fry your Romano peppers and your long green peppers, if you had remembered to buy them, until they're soft, about 5 or 8 minutes. And then you put them in a bowl and cover it with cling film so that they keep softening. And then you make this pepper cream, which is 2 red peppers, 1 green pepper, 4 pickled onions. I'll come back to that. 200 mils of creme fraiche and salt and pepper. And you just like blitz that in a processor. Season
I love exactly
it.
4 pickled onions.
Yeah. So I was like, does she want me to buy like one of those jars of like little mm-hmm. like silver skinny ones? So I was like, I would never eat the rest of that jar. I know that some people like them, but I just, there's not really my thing. Just like quick pickled some red onions. Oh. And I use them because you put them on top as well. But I had no idea what the equivalent of like 4 pickled onions. Anyway, I completely eyeballed that. But anyway, you blitz all that up and you make that into a cream and you put that in the fridge. I wish I'd done that a bit sooner so it had longer in the fridge to set because it was still quite like liquidy. So that was my only kind of, I messed that up a little bit basically. And then the peppers that you fried before, you mix them with the onion dressing. So that's a sliced spring onions, and more 12 pickled onions finely sliced. So again, just used red ones. Parsley, olive oil and salt. So you kind of mix that up and pour that over your fried Romano peppers. And then you boil baby potatoes or new potatoes. And she says until they're tender but not falling apart. You let them cool and then you basically kind of smush them a little bit so that they flatten but they don't fall apart. And you fry them.
Did she use
them.
The word smush?
No, but I love the word smush.
I like the word smush. I like the way you say the word smush.
And you fry them in a decent amount of oil, 300 mils of vegetable oil. And you put them in, I put them in like the lovely Our Place pan that you got me. And you fry them till they're crispy. Working in batches if you need, and you drain them on paper. So then you remove the cream from the fridge, you top it with the dressed peppers and you serve with the crunchy potatoes. And this was nice. This was good. I just messed it up a bit. I think I was a bit, should have let the cream set for longer in the fridge and should have probably let the potatoes cool a little bit more before putting them on the cream. So it was all like a little bit runny.
And it should have bought the pickled onions.
Yeah, and the like onions, the peppers are quite like big in there. Her picture looks great, but I feel like maybe I just rushed it a bit. But the flavors were lovely.
Yeah,
and it was really nice. That was my dinner last like Friday, Saturday night. I can't remember.
Something a bit like fresh to go with the burek, which is very like not, doesn't taste like, it's not, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's not fresh.
No, it's not. And I mean, a lot of the stuff in here is like, is like that. No. And it's great. Decadent. But it is, decadent. So that was what I made. And I've just so much more it. I want to make as well. There was loads. We'll come back to that. What did you make?
We'll come back to that.
A burek.
What did I make? So I make two things as well. Yes. I made the one that is the page before yours. That's just called a burek. Yes, beef. But she does say she just says that you put anything in it. If you like, you can put any filling in it. She says if what the mincemeat for pretty much any filling you fancy. Oh. Just avoid anything that's too wet or the pastry will become soggy.
Interesting.
Slight, a little bit of a bugbear here that she says in the intro to the burek, I use a 9-inch, 23 centimetres round cake tin for my burek. But then in the recipe, she's like, do it in a 12-inch. And I was like, well, what is it?
Yeah.
I don't have a 12-inch cake tin, so I did it in that. But anyway, so this is like pretty much exactly the same as you just described. In terms of building the brick, but you're doing it in like a round cake tin so it comes out like a pie.
Right.
But first you cook up an onion, a finely chopped onion for a bit in some oil, obviously, and then add beef and garlic and some salt to the to the onion and like cook that up until it's kind of browned and cooked through.
Yeah.
Season it with black pepper and set aside to cool. So it's very, that's a very simple like minced beef, yes. Right? Like it's nothing special. And then, but she does say you don't want the mince to dry out too much because the fat is going to be super delicious when it sinks into the pastry. Ooh, so that's right, good. Yeah. Like you let it cool, but not too much. Like,
yeah.
Which I liked. So your oven's on. And then it's a, the same as you said. So you're whisking 4 eggs with 200 mils of oil.
Right.
And some...
Salt and pepper.
And then that's what you're using to kind of, yeah, paste on the thing. And it's exactly the same as you said. So like 3 on the bottom. So... yeah, phyllo,
egg wash,
paste.
Yeah,
phyllo paste. Phyllo. So 3 on the bottom, and she says you can like scrunch up the edges to start the crust.
Nice.
Going, and then yeah, a bit of meat, like an even layer of meat, and then like 2 phyllo pastries sheets, and then the egg wash, and then a sprinkle of sparkling water.
What? What does that do?
Did yours? I've got no idea. No. It's probably somewhere, but it's also my other recipe, sparkling water, which I thought was, you know, fascinating.
Very. Like,
she just says a sprinkle, and I was like, okay. So did that, and then just doing that until she says you should have like 4 sheets left,
right?
And then you do like the layer them in, brushing each with egg to create a crust. So it's like, oh, like an enclosed, lovely little breck pie. Then you put it in the oven for 25 to 30 minutes until deep golden brown. You leave it to cool for 15 minutes. And so really kind of basic flavors, like nothing like she does in the shop, yeah. Obviously. And she does say at the beginning, I won't give you the keys to my pastry castle, but you can use shop-bought phyllo, which obviously means that she makes her own. But it was so good. It was exactly how you would imagine it. If you're imagining like beef in a crispy phyllo pie,
yeah.
With like a bit of like a kind of soft, soggy inside layered. But it was so good.
Mm.
I needed hot sauce. And actually, fun that you mentioned it, like pickled onions. I had a jar of pickled onions I got in like a foodie advent calendar that my brother gave us. And I was like, oh, it just needs like a pickle
sharpness,
to cut through it. And
yeah.
I was like, yeah. And I was like, it's perfect for pickled onions. I feel like, you know, the Macedonians probably love a pickled onion. Yeah, it was great. So you like eat it like by the slice. And she does say, actually, which made me think this is why she sells it in the shop. She says, if you have a Mediterranean or Middle Eastern shop near you, then try out a bottle of iron drinking yogurt, taking 6 between each bite.
That's what she sells in the shop.
Yeah.
I think.
So I guess that's like a thing to like cut through.
Right.
I guess it's like a tart, kefir, yogurt-y Ooh. Drink, and it cuts through the kind of richness of
yes.
it. But yeah, very much... Stephen described it as like it knows what it is and it's doing that well.
That's such a great review.
Yeah, like it feels
I wish
like
someone would say that about me.
Yeah, me too, actually. Yeah, I really liked it. It's massive, and there was only 2 of us, so actually she does say it freezes really well. So
oh.
I did freeze it, and then I had some for lunch today.
That's going to be such
like,
a treat.
Staring at me.
Yeah, when you remember that that's in there one evening, you're just going to be like, yes.
Yeah, I feel like that with, pickles, like a salad, like some hot sauce, even some hot honey. Oh.
For me, it's those layers of pastry in the middle that make all the difference, right? Like that's what's...
With the egg.
With the egg, and they're like, there's just... I don't know. I've never had anything like that, I don't think. I think it's...
No.
We've had like phyllo-y pies where it's like pastry filling, pastry done. But hers is just like a lasagna almost of like different layers. And oh, inspired.
It's like a baklava, right? But like better because it's savoury.
I'm a front lover.
I love it. I would... okay.
Oh God, that person who said we giggled too much is gonna be hating us right
now. We got a review, guys, on Apple Podcasts. You should go review us on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
That said we giggle too much. And
I'm not sorry, actually.
Well, I'm not sorry, actually. We have a lot of fun.
We do, and it's not giggling.
If you wanted to be a dry, boring podcast, then we couldn't do that because we're not dry, boring people, ladies and gentlemen.
There's loads of other food podcasts out there that I'm sure are a bit more serious. I also resent the use of the word giggling. Giggling makes me think of like tea.
Yeah, it's sexist. You're being sexist.
Maybe it's
you wouldn't
Morgan.
Say a man giggles. Yeah. You would never say that Piers Morgan giggles at all.
No, because he doesn't.
You know.
Anyway.
What a sad little life, Piers. So that was my first thing. And then my second thing was, do I need to see the pronunciation? Yes. The hop... What? No. The hot kebabchina with chili and honey relish.
Ooh, what's a kebab?
And that is on page. It's like a kebab, like a sausage kebab thing. So it's 164. It's on Mains for Feasting, and the picture is on one. The previous page, 163.
Oh. Ooh, it looks
so. Yeah,
like a
Turkish, like sheet kebab.
Yeah,
is that what you'd call it? Yeah, like a minced kebab. And this was a bit like what you do with Tom. I kind of said, like, these are my options for dinner from this book. What do you want? And this one out. So for the like kebab, so the kebabchina, or the kebabchi, she says. Mm. Right, it's 500 grams of lamb mince, 500 grams of beef mince. It's quite a big thing. Yeah. A grated onion.
Oh.
Chopped garlic cloves. 2 teaspoons of vegeta seasoning.
Oh.
And she talks about vegeta on a previous page where about vegeta chicken wings. Yeah. And it's a seasoning that is a very popular. What does she say about it? I had never heard of it, but then when I Googled it, I had seen it like in the like Polish shops and stuff. Mm. It's hard to put into words how crucial the seasoning vegeta is in our cuisine. It was created by a Bosnian Croat scientist called Zlata Bartel, a hero of his time. It's like a mixture of like dried vegetables, MSG, and like spices.
Oh, it sounds great.
Yeah, it's great. I found it in Asda for everyone. There's also a Polish one called something at the beginning with a K that's very similar, and they're often next to each other. And I think that they can be swapped out. I mean, you know, you can come for me if that's vastly untrue, but they are very similar in recipe.
Right.
So there you go. But yeah, I found it in Asda and it was like 85p for a bag.
Oh,
so
love that.
It's great. So that sweet paprika, baking powder, 50ml of sparkling water, an egg, smoked paprika and chili flakes, right? So you put all that together and mix it like you just would do for a kebab. And then you have to leave it overnight to make the meat go fluffy.
Oh. Ooh.
So imagine that's what the, yeah, that's not a great word. But I understand what she means, like with the baking powder, and I guess that's what the sparkling water helps with. Like,
okay.
Helps it like fluff up. But so you leave that. And then you make the relish, like whenever you've got time. Mm. And this was the highlight of this book for me.
Oh.
And everybody should make this. And it's still in my fridge and I'm still literally eating it with anything.
Oh,
and
wow.
Sometimes just getting a cracker out to dip in it. So it's like a dip, a sauce. It's absolutely incredible. It's vegetarian, so we're good to go. Okay, so you just, in the mini chopper or any chopper that you've got, put an onion, roughly chopped, but it's good in the mini chopper, so it's fine. 2 garlic cloves, 6 green chilies.
Oof.
150ml of runny honey.
Oh.
So 100 grams of full fat plain yogurt and a bunch of parsley.
Okay.
So you whizzle that up and season it, and that's your relish.
Kind of yogurty, spicy, sweet.
Yes. It's
savory.
Absolutely incredible.
Oh, wow.
It's really spicy. I really, really like this. Like the, I thought it was going to be too honey-y for me and sweet. And then when I first tried it, I'm like, oh, is it too spicy? But it may have changed my life.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I absolutely will make this again just to have in the fridge because it's just like a really nice dip. Yeah. Like the parsley, it goes kind of like green. Like, yeah.
Delicious.
It's lovely. It's in that picture. Yeah, you should make that. You can see it in the picture. It kind of looks like parsley sauce.
Yeah.
But it's like, so you leave that in the fridge and then it kind of thickens up.
Okay.
Because when you've made it, it's obviously a bit
runny.
Because it's a bit warmer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit runny. But then you, oh, I really, really like that. And like I said, I've been eating that, putting that on everything since. So, and then essentially, it's quite easy. So you just divide the meat into 12 balls and make those balls into like sausage like shapes. She says that you've got to kind of make them very uniform.
Okay.
She says a lot of people in Macedonia use sausage makers to make them.
Right.
And she suggests that you could use a piping bag, but like, obviously I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
And then you just put them under the grill for like 10 to 12 minutes on like an oiled baking sheet.
Right.
She says until they're cooked all the way through, but still soft and bouncy in the center. I did put them in the grill, but my grill has, a penchant for setting my fire alarm off.
And
Marcus was in bed, so I kind of put them in for a bit and then I finished them off in the air fryer. And actually the air fryer seemed to be giving them a better like crust,
you know,
grilled bit. And they were great. And like, and then you're supposed to serve them with the bread that's on page 82, which I'm going to look up the how to say it. I think it's like the fried bread.
Ooh.
She doesn't say how to say it. I can't see. but yeah, it's lepincha. Anyway, I think they're like fried breads, which I didn't make, but we did just serve them with like really nice pitas.
Yes.
They were so good.
Oh.
They were like almost in like an out, like a really opposite contrast to the burek that is very lightly spiced with just onion and garlic.
Yeah.
And then in a pastry. And then this is like, you know, it's got paprika, sweet paprika, smoked paprika, garlic, onion, water, chili flakes. I used Aleppo pepper as my chili flakes. Oh, it was so good. And because it's lamb and beef,
yes,
but particularly lamb, like it's really fatty.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's bang on. It was really good. We ate it because it's like, it serves for, it's, you make 12 kebab things. So we ate it two nights in a row.
Great.
Because she also gives you instructions to reheat them.
Love that.
Yeah. So good.
I think we should just
love them.
Have a dinner party where we only make stuff from this book.
Yeah.
I would happily do that.
Yeah. Or a brunch and we go to dinner the night before at Mystic Break.
Yes.
And then the next day have all this stuff so people don't feel sad that they don't get to eat it again.
This year's barbecue can be Mystic Break themed.
Yeah, this relish absolutely has to come on here.
Ooh.
It's so good. I mean, I'm saying that. I thought it was great. Stephen also thought it was great. They're the only people that I could that have give any to my son because he's two and probably giving him something with six green chilies in is not
a good work for you. What else did you see that you wanted to make?
There was a lot. There was a
so
lot.
Much.
So the vegetable chicken wings.
Yeah.
That was what I was kind of you know, torn between from the meaty dish.
Yeah.
And I thought that I would do yeah, big meaty stuff. So we didn't do the same
Banim of the week.
The same thing again. Meaty stuff. But the rhubarb and poppy seed buns.
Yes, them.
Did you see those? Yeah.
Great.
They look so good.
Yeah.
They're like a cinnamon roll style for those people. Sour cream to serve. Love it.
Yeah.
And I may still make this because we're in like forced rhubarb season, right? Mm. And I've got loads of poppy seeds left from Dishoom, I think. So maybe I can use that. What else did I have folded over? You tell me in what you wanted to cook in the meantime.
The sesame onion rings with tarragon honey mustard.
Yes.
All that day long.
Looks incredible.
The snow white salad with green olive and anchovy panzanella, which you make like a panzanella with like focaccia or sourdough, and the salad with labneh and feta and walnuts, and then you bring it all together with like butterhead lettuce and anchovies and olives. Oh, yes.
Yes.
There was something called a Mikichi with gorgonzola sauce and roasted grapes. I mean, just come on. They're just
roasted grapes.
Oh, and this Guinness cheese Proja melt.
Yes.
So, yes. I don't know what that is, but it sounds like incredible. Some kind of like rare bitty thing with like Guinness and cheddar and mustard and oh my God.
Yeah. The mortadella piroshki,
yes,
with feta sauce.
Loves feta.
She also has like a cheese one, yeah, which is like just like a deep fried dumpling.
Ugh, you're my deep fried dumpling.
I did. Thank you, babe. Breaded olives and battered aubergine.
Yes.
Like that's a good band name, and also our band name.
I'll be the battered aubergine. You can be the breaded olive.
Oh, thanks. You're so kind to me.
I know.
Basically, this book is great. And you may... Oh, there was like a little sausage thing as well. Like a little sausage bake that looked fun. I can't find it now. The fried breads.
Yes.
Which is on that gorgonzola sauce.
Ooh.
I think it's that. It's those... Yes, it's that's the bread. That's the Mekichi. Mekitsi.
Mekitsi.
Yeah. Yeah, basically it's great.
Shall we rate?
Go buy it. Candied squash and caper cream.
Yeah. So clever.
You're my candied squash.
A lot of sweet and spicy and the flavours.
Yes.
Yeah, combinations are just so smart. Okay.
Let's go to Macedonia.
We'll
have you ever been to Macedonia?
No. Let's go with Spasia if we can.
Let's go. Yes.
What
let's
if she'd have
Do you want to tell us about our rating?
Yeah, it's 0 out of 5 from both of us.
It is. It's been a race.
Rating. We like to rate books and we rate them out of 5 criteria. They are usability and accessibility. That's 1. 2.
That's 1.
Ingredients used. 3.
That's another one.
Aesthetics. How pretty is the book? 4. Veggie friendliness. Is there lots of veggie friendliness in there? And 5. Inspirability. And for each chef or book, we change what we rate out of based on what they're all about. And for Mystic Breck, Doma. It's funny, actually, when you look at the cover of the book, it doesn't mention Mystic Breck anywhere. For Spasia, I should say. We are going to rate out of fried stuff with cheese. That is a Friends
fried
reference for anyone who is as much of a Friends nerd as I am. I have something about Joey's favourite kind of food. But there is just a lot of fried stuff and it all has cheese in here. So we felt that it was relevant. So,
yes,
Vic, how many fried stuffs with cheese are you giving this out of 5?
Okay, let's go through. Usability and accessibility. Yes, that gets 1 fried stuff with cheese.
Yeah.
It looks like it may be daunting, but I didn't find anything too difficult, even in the ones that I didn't do and I looked through. There is even like recipes in here to like make your own cheese, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm sure that is a bit involved, but like not too much.
No.
Because I think that what I've learned about recipe books is that would have probably been edited out, right? Like, if they thought it was too difficult or too time consuming and people wouldn't do it, like, don't put it in your book. So that's one. Ingredients used. So I didn't have any problems finding anything. Oh, hi, Doug. That's the first time I've seen him.
He's kind been of quiet. Comes out. Uncharacteristically quiet this episode.
I didn't have any problem finding this, the stuff. That vegeta stuff is obviously a bit unique, but I found it in a big supermarket. But she does also say that you could just use salt if you can't get it.
Yeah.
Because it's, I guess it's like a salty MSG thing. Aesthetics, yep, it's absolutely beautiful. We've talked about it. Like, it's pink and, you know,
fun
and
full of personality. And,
you know, if it could giggle, it probably would, and that's great. We love that. Veggie friendliness, like, based on what you've said, it's a yes. It is absolutely not vegan friendly.
No, like, that's true.
There is something with dairy. If it doesn't have cheese or cream, it has meat.
Eggs. Yeah.
Yeah, or eggs. Yeah. So I, as we know, don't love cheese. And so I obviously found plenty of stuff that I could make. Mm. But yeah, if you're vegan, it's not for you, I'm afraid. Sorry.
No.
And inspirability, yes. So is that five fried things with cheese out of five from me? I think it is, friends.
Yeah, and it's the same from me. I just feel like this is everything I want from a cookbook. It's stuff I don't know and I'm learning about. It's delicious. It's delicious, but it's not too involved or not like with stuff that's hard to find. It's just great. Just love
it's
her.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
Like, you would be happy to make this for someone, like on a, like you said, on a dinner part, at a dinner party.
Yeah. It looks great. Like, all the food is like, wow, when you bring it out. It's like excess and like piled up and drizzles and no holding back, no holding Barek.
Yes. No holding Barek, no turning back. Even the very basic Barek that I made like looked amazing because it was like made in a cake tin, so it was like high and you know, but it didn't the effort. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I yes, it's high. Is
high?
High.
Are we
low
high?
Effort, high impact? Maybe I've had almost a whole glass of wine for the first time in about 6 months. I don't know about you, but I didn't expect this to be as good as it is. I think I expected it to be quite involved and maybe quite
like
difficult to find the things.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. A bit beige, maybe.
Yeah.
But that's not the case at all. And I did worry about being too cheesy, but that is absolutely not the case at all. So it's nice to be pleasantly surprised, as always.
What a high to finish the season on. What a great book.
I know. We love you, Specia. Please take us to Macedonia and we love you.
Well, next time you come to London,
we love you,
we should...
dear listener.
Yes, we do love you. We should just go to the shop. Yes, we'll go say hi.
Yes.
Impose ourselves on her.
We'll use your voucher.
Yeah, maybe.
You're saving it.
Yes, we love you, Spasia, and we do love our lovely listeners. Thanks for sticking with us through season three on this random
season
roller coaster
ride. I know we've
ride.
Had a couple of breaks as well. So
yeah,
thanks for that.
Yeah.
We'll try not to do that next time.
No, we're going to be real organized this time. Things are going to get real organized around here.
You can count on us, as you know.
But yeah, tune in next time. We'll do a roundup of the season, and maybe we'll tell you, maybe we'll have some more news on what we'll do next. Who knows? We're so organized.
Just before we go, I feel like a low-key unsung hero of this season has been our new podcast editor, James, who has given us the ability to get these out the door.
He's given us the gift of time.
Because before, Hannah was editing and doing an amazing job. he has. And yeah, we love you, James, and thank you. So just putting that out there because,
you
know,
so
he's our unsung hero, but we love him.
Yeah, it's strange not to edit it, but it's quite nice to just do this and ship it off and it comes back all done.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes me feel like a celeb.
Yeah.
Thank
Hannah
you, James.
Hannah doesn't have to spend hours every week, like, listening to her own voice.
He can probably do it in, like, 1/10 of the time that I was doing it in, like, labouring over Audacity. Anyway, yes, thank you, James, and thank you, listeners. And we'll talk to you soon.
And we'll be back. We'll be back soon with, yeah, we'll do a little bit of a wrap up. And then, yeah, keep an eye on our socials for what we're doing next for our projects.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Cookbook Circle. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast and leave us a review as it helps others to find us and enjoy us. You can see how the recipes from this episode turned out on our Instagram at Cookbook Circle, where you can also get in touch with us, let us know your thoughts, feedback, ideas for episodes, whatever you like. We really love to hear from all of you. So we'll see you next time. Bye. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.